The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
This is Steven Taylor from Superjoint and PHA and the Illegals, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to an illegal episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 496. And I'm Snowy White.
I'm the Harvester of Sorrow.
And this is the thing that should not be.
Hey, bros, what's going on?
He's no selling this.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Not one.
I was kind of expecting you guys to reintroduce yourself. It's not that I'm just a little slow.
It's my new name.
Okay.
We're celebrating the new Metallica tour.
Oh, okay. That I understand.
So this episode you called me Mr. Sorrow.
Mr. Sorrow, I can do that.
You just call me the Thing.
The Thing, okay.
I wanted to call you B.
The Thing and Sorrow, okay.
Mr. Sorrow.
Mr. Sorrow. Yes. Okay, I'll try to remember that. Well, how is Mr. Sorrow and the Thing doing tonight?
Mr. Sorrow is fucking exhausted and he just wants to go to bed, so it's been one of those rough weeks. And all I have to say is boycott Banana Republic and the Gap. That's it. I have my reasons.
Rocking the boat, right on. That's what I like to see. Stick it to the man.
Yep.
Right on. What about you, Thing? How's everything going with you?
Well, you know, man, it has also been a long week. It's been an interesting week. I'd say mostly productive, but I'm happy to see it end.
Yeah. You know what? As we speak, it's Friday night. I got a kick-ass weekend once again.
Lucky you.
Coming up.
Lucky you. You have a weekend.
I try.
I'm sorry. It's the frustration speaking right now. Well, it's the sorrow speaking.
I totally get that. Like, when the real world is kicking my ass, I sit down, I do this with you guys, and then I just step out into what I call fun world. And, you know, this fun world starts right now with this, with you guys.
So, well, luckily
you got to look at it.
Luckily, I do have a little bit of fun world tomorrow night. I'm going to an NXT house show.
Ooh.
And I heard that the Ricochet is going to be there, so hell yeah.
Right.
Is he the Irish wrestler, Ricochet?
No. No, he was one of the top indie wrestlers until WWE signed him. So now he's in the minor leagues right now, and he made his WWE debut last week in Mississauga, I believe, Ontario. And against Buddy Murphy, and he's this week he's doing the what they call the Florida Loop, which is they do all the Florida towns every weekend. And he's doing that, and I found out that he's probably going to be the main event tomorrow in Orlando. So,
excellent.
I've never seen him wrestle, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know what? You like myself and my homies up here that love pro wrestling. Like we're all the time. We're like, I know Rock's doing this. Rock's going to MLW. Rock's going to NXT. That fucker.
Well, next week. Next week also, okay, Saturday is the house show, and then the following Wednesday, which I'm probably going to talk about at the next recording, is a NXT taping, which that's going to be like 3.5 hours of wrestling, and then the very next night is another MLW taping. So,
nice. Yes, well,
three shows in less than about 5 days, yeah. So
right on. That's awesome. Yep. Speaking of my homies, I just wanted to throw it out there in case anyone had heard, or I'm probably announcing this for the first time for the most part. Now, he's okay, or else this would be a very different conversation. But by now, our listeners know who my buddy Dustin is, and he got hit by a car this week.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
So is he in the hospital right now?
He spent some time in the hospital, but he was basically in and out. And
what?
He was in and out. He was cracking jokes the whole time. I was ribbing him about, you know, I'm going to have to, what am I going to do the next show? I got to keep him out of the pit. Am I going to be able to do that? I would, you know, I sent him an email just saying, you know, come on, pussy, walk it off, you know, shit like that. You know?
Yeah, I commented on his Facebook page. I said, man, that was quite the bump.
Hey, what?
You know, in wrestling terms, a bump is taking a spill, you know.
Right. Oh, so, yeah. But he's a tough SOB. So
I'll tell you, Snowy, I think you just really kind of tipped the hat and let our longtime listeners know exactly how close you and Dustin are. Because if anybody was listening, they would have caught the fact that you sent him an email where you haven't replied to one of my fucking emails in 3 years. So you guys must be tight, man. That's all I'm saying. Well,
I think what it is no one else really, really wants to hang out with us. So we just kind of gravitated to each other, except for my good buddy Ninja Cat Erica, who is celebrating her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Erica.
Yeah. So as soon as we are done here, I'm stepping out into Fun World and helping her celebrate.
When you said email a minute ago, did you mean a text?
Yeah, you know what? Text, message, email, when I'm just casually talking, whatever comes out. I understand there's a certain level of deduction you have to have when I talk.
Yes, we have to know you for Grandpa, quite a while to figure out what the hell you're saying sometimes.
Don't you worry, Grandpa. We'll get you up to the 20th century any day now.
Eventually, but before,
and then we'll work on the 21st.
That's right. But you guys kind of mentioned it, and I do want to talk about it before we get on with the grunt here. Yes, the Metallica tour has been announced. Unfortunately, there has been no support act, you know, announced, which is kind of unfortunate because that was going to be the deciding factor as to whether or not I was going to go to this. First of all, number one, let's do this the traditional way. Metallica's out on tour, you guys. Is this $100 show?
Oh, man. No. Not by themselves. And for as much as I talk about Metallica on this show, I know some people are going to be like, really? But the thing is, like, I saw Metallica 1988 Monsters of Rock tour with Van Halen headlining.
Nice.
Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. It's the first time I ever saw them. They were the second or third band that day, and it was an amazing show. It was right before Justice came out, and they played Harvester of Sorrow. You know, hey. So it's a nod to you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, we're going to play this track off the new record. I'm like, wow. You know, like I got to hear a new track before the record came out. Because, I mean, that was back in the day where you didn't get the preview like you do today. You know, like nobody can keep anything a secret today.
Yeah.
So it was really something to be there live and hear this stuff. And then I saw them on the Black Tour, the Black Album, where it was just them, you know, the evening of Metallica. And then, you know, they betrayed me pretty much with that album and further. And I haven't gotten to see him since. And I mean, we were texting the group, and you were talking about how expensive the tickets are up in Winnipeg. And I'm like, I don't think I could pay that much. And honestly, if I'm going to pay that much, I think I need Anthrax, Slayer, and Gojira on the bill.
Okay. And Lars better suck my dick too for
the amount, come on,
like Jesus, like for the amount that they're asking for some of their so-called VIP packages, that's fucking insane. Sorry, go on.
No, that's all. Like I'm with you. I mean, I don't think he needs to suck. It's just a hand job. Yeah.
At the very least. What about you, Rock? I think you heard. I heard you say you're going to pass on this.
What?
I think he's going to pass out. He's just that.
No, tired. No. I said. I think I heard you say you're going to pass on this.
Oh, Metallica. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've been passing on Metallica since the Loden tour. I saw the Load tour this last time I saw him.
You saw Load?
Yeah.
That's your own fault.
Well, it was a special occasion. It was with one of my college friends. We had been out of college for about 8 months at that point. His girlfriend, he lived in a different city. His girlfriend called me. She said, hey, it's his birthday. I want to get him a Metallica ticket to go see him in Quebec, see them in Quebec City. Would you be willing to go with him? Because I had... don't fucking care. So I was like, sure. So I went over there, hung out with him for the weekend, and we went to see Metallica, and Corrosion of Conformity was opening, and that was the Deliverance tour, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did they play banjos?
No. And they did play Volt with a Bullet, which was fucking awesome because it was my friend's favorite Corrosion song. And also the cool thing you're just saying, how they played Harvester of Sorrow for you, which was a new song.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember that for us, like I said, it was the Load tour. So they're playing. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. And then they say, hey, we're going to play a song from the our next album. And,
Reload.
So you guys can see what is. And they played they played Fuel. And Fuel is...
I do like Fuel. That's
Fuel is my favorite song on that album. And I was like, yeah. Holy shit, if the next album's like that, I'm back in.
And you were fooled.
And yes, I was fooled. But man, live Fuel is awesome. Oh my God, it was so good.
Dude, even on the album, that song's awesome. I went to buy it a while ago. Because I'm like, man, I really want to hear that track. And when I realized it was on Reload, I'm like, oh, do I still want to buy it?
Well, if you can find it for 50 cents or a dollar, you know.
But it doesn't matter if it was free. It's on Reload. You know what I mean?
Oh, you can buy just the one song, I guess, on iTunes. Well,
and I did, but it was just, oh my God. Like, just, do I really? It's kind of like, you know, it's almost like the internal struggle I used to have with Rage Against the Machine Records. Do I want to support this cause?
Yeah.
You know, like I love Rage Against the Machine. Sometimes they get a little too crazy for me. I'm like, where is this money going? What are we supporting? You know, and do I really want to support another record like Reload?
It's like a Burzum. It's like Burzum. Yeah. Do you want to support a neo-Nazi?
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, with myself.
I said that escalated quickly.
That's the best example I could find.
Oh yeah, like I don't know. He's yeah, that asshole's the go-to. That's the measuring stick. Whenever you want to compare one asshole to the metal world, like it's Varg. Okay. Yep. Like he's the go-to guy. For myself, when they announced this, I was like, I'm already kind of like modern day Metallica'd out. You know, like I saw them, you know, when they were young, dumb, and full of cum, when they just fucking ruled the world. And I don't know if they're ever going to be able to recapture that. But then I thought about it. Okay. First of all, no, to answer my own question, this is not a $100 show. This is definitely, and I've been hearing some people for floor seats have paid like over $300. $165 for certain nosebleed sections, you know, and like for $500, you can have this early entrance to the arena And beforehand, they're going to serve you like a buffet dinner inside this room where they're going to be showing like Metallica paraphernalia, like a little traveling museum and all that, which that's actually kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
That I would pay $10 for.
Maybe 25.
You know, maybe. Yeah. But I'm not spending a $200 buffet dinner to $200 to look through this little traveling museum or whatever. And then $100 show? No, I don't think so. No, that's a little thing. But then I thought, well, what would get me into the building? Well, this is actually kind of scary because I'm like, okay, if this sells out, which by all accounts it probably will, they haven't announced a support act yet. And I'm a little nervous. Like, chances are it's going to be Godsmack or it's going to be something like that, right?
If
like
there's
they've taken
one.
On tour before. No,
they've been touring with Gojira, though. Like, they've been touring with some pretty decent bands.
Yeah, well, I understand that you love Gojira, but
I do.
I don't. They're not a $100 band for me, though.
They're
a $50 band because Metallica is the other $50.
There we go.
Okay, well, I've seen Gojira live in like a much better venue headlining and all that, so it's just
so good, man. You know, so good.
They are. Oh, they're a fantastic band. Yeah, yeah. So, like, what's the support act? And I'm kind of scared that okay, if it sells out right away, and then they say, well, we've been a big admirer of this band. They're a big influence. We're bringing Merciful Fate / King Diamond out on tour with us. And I would be like, no.
No, listen,
that would be a hell of a show. No.
Listen, when they announced the tour, did they say opening act TBA or did they say? Because normally
they haven't announced one.
Well,
yeah.
No, that means there isn't one. Because when the tour is announced, if there's an opening act, they announce it right away with it.
Generally, yeah.
So like, there's no opening act.
I hope not now. Because I have to admit, you know, I'm a little nervous.
But I got to say.
Sorry?
I was just going to say, I got to say that when they said they were going to play in Winnipeg, I was rolling on the floor. Just because of our recent conversations in the last couple of months.
Yeah, well.
I was like, of course, they're going to Snowy's Town.
I know, they're not even coming down here to Hickville, man.
I know, they're kind of staying up north, right, for this? I think, I don't know.
This has got to be just the one leg, though.
I think they're going to be in Charlotte, and I know they're going to be in Pittsburgh. So I got a buddy in Pittsburgh who's going to go.
Okay, well, how close are you to Charlotte?
About 4 hours.
That's what you might have to do.
Well, so it's a thought, right? But I mean, honestly, I would rather see the final Slayer tour because that's the better bill.
Oh, fucking rights, man.
You know? Yeah. And I mean, like, and the thing is, like, I mean, if you compare me, am I a Slayer fan or am I a Metallica fan? I'm definitely a Metallica fan over a Slayer fan. Like, Slayer's a band that I would rather see live than buy a lot of their records. Because I love seeing them live. Like, I think that it's a great show. But then you've got Anthrax on the bill. Well, that's Anthrax trumps Metallica for me any day of the week.
Yeah.
Like the conversation back in the day when people were like trying to tell me how great Lars was because of one. And again, Metallica fan, but fuck, listen to anything Anate is doing. There's, you know, of the big four drummers. Like, I know everybody loves Dave Lombardo, but I really think that nobody
Benante
can hold a candle to Charlie Benante.
Yeah, he's the best.
Like, that motherfucker, man. Whew. Jeez.
And he hasn't slowed down, and he's...
Yeah, and the thing is, like, what always baffled me is when Sabbath came out and did that last record, right? 13 or whatever they called it. And they got Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine and said, oh, well, he has a good groove. I'm like, no, not really. Like, I mean, he's got a good Rage Against the Machine groove, but not for Sabbath. If you want somebody that could – if you wanted to get the Sabbath feel but have it still be modern, Benante. Like, their cover of Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath on the I'm the Man EP is just fucking killer.
It is.
You know?
It is,
and, yeah. I mean, just picture what he would have done with new Sabbath material. Like, because he gets Sabbath. He gets the Sabbath legacy. And – I mean, you know, for as long as Anthrax has been going, he's still a very modern drummer, you know? Yeah. So he would have been hands down the best choice.
Totally.
Can't argue with that. Yeah. Like, it just, if you would have asked me in the late 80s, who is your pick of your favorite of the big four? It depends on what day you ask me what my answer would have been. But now in 2018, okay, out of the traditional big four, who is your favorite? And I gotta say Anthrax. For sure.
Yeah, Anthrax has always been my favorite, but I would have gone between Anthrax, Megadeth, and Metallica on any given day back in the 80s.
And it was tough, yeah.
You know, Slayer terrified the hell out of me. Now I absolutely love Rain Blood. You know, we've talked about bands that terrify me. I mean, yeah. we told the Suicidal Tendencies story on here, you know.
Okay, sure.
Oh yeah.
For me, out of the big four today, it's Metallica. They're the ones
really?
I prefer. Yeah. But in '87, it was Anthrax because of Among the Living, and then you know, and in '86, it was a really close call between Slayer and Metallica because Slayer had just put out Raining Blood, and, mm-hmm. and Metallica was Master of Puppets, you know. And then in there also because '85 Metal Church put out their first album, and that was like top of my list, you know. So I know they're not a big four band, but they were like really high up there at one point. It was between Metal Church and Metallica for me. So when they did that Master of Puppets tour, Master of Puppets tour with Metal Church, those were my top two favorite bands at the time. So let me tell you that this 15-year-old boy at the show was like fucking losing his shit.
Oh yeah. That I still say that was the best show that I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. All right. So fun, real quick conversation before you hit the metal fix here. All right. Snowy Rock. Here's what I want to know. Let's go through the big four and pick the quintessential album for you from the big four. All right. So let's start with Slayer.
Okay. Okay. By Ben. Like, Raining Blood.
Yeah.
Raining Blood?
Yeah.
Okay, so Raining Blood here. Raining Blood, but South of Heaven, close second.
Close second, Hell Awaits for me. Really close second.
Okay, yeah.
I love Hell Awaits.
There's something that was so evil about South of Heaven, and even, what was the Seasons in the Abyss?
Mm-hmm.
That one too, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Megadeth.
Oh, jeez.
It's either Killing Is My Business or So Far So Good, So What? No, Rust in Peace. No, it's got to be Rust in Peace. I'm sorry.
Rust in Peace and Peace Sells.
I would say for me, Peace Sells all day long. Peace Sells all day long.
Rust in Peace for me.
The guitar work on Peace Sells was so symphonic and so good. Like, that was to me, Peace Sells was the album where they're really trying to like stick it to Metallica. You know,
yeah, but not all the songs are good.
I love that record.
I don't like Mary Jane.
No, Mary Jane's on So Far So Good.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
yeah, we should do a thing on Peace Sells. All right, so now Anthrax,
Among the Living, hands down.
I think that's the record that I've just listened to the most. And yep. To this day, and I think I even said it on the show, at least once a day when I'm going about my business at work, mm-hmm. I'll sing one of those songs as I'm going about. Like, I'm always singing, okay?
Yeah.
But
gosh, you must be annoying.
I keep everything entertaining at work.
Oh my god!
Like I keep my coworkers in stitches. You should stop punching him.
Yeah,
I'm the highlight of everyone's day a lot of the time.
Okay,
I take pride in that. Like, hey,
so what's your album?
It's just Among the Living. That's the record I've given the most spins to.
So Among the Living was my first real Anthrax record. And then I went back to things like Fistful of Metal and what was the other one? Spreading the Disease, right?
Spreading, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the album for me, and has been for
Stomp
years.
Stomp 449.
No. It was Stomp 442, thank you. But the album for me is The Persistence of Time.
Yeah, it's a good, really good one.
I would understand that.
That record is a masterpiece. It's an absolute masterpiece. And the best part about it is when I bought it, like I bought it the day it came out. Like I can remember it was my senior year of high school. Me and one of my buddies went to the mall to go get, records. But at the time I bought it on cassette. And I get it and we put it in the car and I fucking hated it. I hated it.
And, I guess it was something my buddy had to grow
was, on. Exactly, but because my buddy was a hair metal guy, and he's like, "I'm proud of you. That shows you're maturing." And that's all I needed to hear. I'm like, "I'm gonna listen to this fucking record till I like it."
You know?
And I love that record. Like I can probably sing almost every guitar solo of it. If we start with Intro to Reality and Belly of the Beast, I could sing every guitar lead on Intro to Reality. Mm-hmm. You know, I've listened to it that much. I love it.
I listened to it not long ago, actually.
it's so good. That whole record is so good. All right, and now.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say you want to mess with someone who thinks that kind of maybe got on the whole Anthrax thing a little late. Tell them that "Got the Time" was a cover song.
Oh, I know, right? Oh,
that would they just look at you like, "What?" Okay, just shut up. You know, just
it's a fantastic cover.
All right, I love it. I love it.
All right, "Antisocial" that's a cover.
"Antisocial"
is probably my favorite of the covers.
And
I hate it. I do not like that song.
I always love "Antisocial," but you know my favorite Anthrax cover?
What?
Their cover of "Friggin' and the Riggin'" off "Peanut Confessin'."
Oh, that's a cover? I didn't know that, honestly.
"Friggin' and the Riggin'"?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dude, that. And my favorite part of it is when, they're doing the beginning part of that bump, 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 and they're kind of, all that. But when they get serious and the guitars kick in, just like in the Sex Pistols version, but this is when you hear Scott Ian's right hand of doom, that chin, 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 chin. Nobody can palm mute like that guy. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I finally got to hear their cover, because I've been trying to track it down for years till I finally found it on CD, And when I got chills when that palm mute kicked in. I'm like, damn, this is so good. Just this, that sound, that, oh, man.
So you like it better than Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath?
Oh, no. That's a tough call. That's a really tough call. Yeah, now, it is. The big one, Metallica. Favorite album?
Probably Master. Probably Master.
Hmm.
I know first four records, "Eeny Meeny Miny Moe."
One day, if you ask me, today it would be Master. Tomorrow's probably going to be "Ride the Lightning."
"Ride the Lightning."
I honestly thought you were going to say "Kill 'Em All Rock." I really didn't.
No. I started with "Ride the Lightning."
Okay. I could have sworn that when they started releasing those box sets, that you were thinking "Kill 'Em All."
No. It was "Ride the Lightning."
Gotcha. And "Ride the Lightning," great album. Like I remember the day my grandmother bought it for me, and yes, my grandmother bought it for me.
Mm-hmm.
She likes "Fade to Black," but for me, like Snowy, it's "Puppets." It is "Puppets" all day long. Like that is and maybe someday we'll talk about this, but it's a perfect record. Like the arrangements, everything they do.
Was that a hint?
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. It's more like foreshadowing for the audience if we ever get there.
He's trying to pre-book. He's pre-booking.
It really wasn't on purpose. But like seriously, like that album is just the arrangements of it. The virtuosity in the playing of every member except Lars. Because I like going back and finally getting to listen to Metallica objectively, Lars is not a great drummer. He's a businessman, and I'm sure people are blaspheming me right now, but he's not really not. He's no Bonatti, he's no Lombardo.
Oh, no, he would tell you himself.
Yeah, he's no revolving door of drummers that Megadeth has had,
He gets the job done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would have him in my band.
Definitely.
But where I completely lost respect for him was "Until It Sleeps."
Okay.
Do you guys remember that one when it came out? Because first of all, it was debuted on alternative rock stations. Cause that's when they were, you know, wearing their eyeliner and the black mesh shirts and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But so that bum bum ba bum bum ba, and he was trying to do like a drum roll. Shittiest drum roll I have ever heard recorded in my life.
I would have to go back and listen.
I've heard eighth grade picking up the snare drum for the first fucking time that could have done that roll better. It's horrible. It's horrible. I'm listening to him going, this is the band that put out fucking Master Puppets. Like just that song alone is the most fucking epic, physical, brutal song. And he's fucking up this roll and they record it and put it out. Like who said this was okay? You know, it's kind of like when Rollins talks about, you know, meeting Billy Sheehan, and Billy Sheehan's telling him, you know, he's a huge fan, all sort of, and Rollins like, who told you that hair was okay? You know, that kind of thing. Like, that's how I feel. Like, who told you that was okay, Lars? Like, who, what? Like, really? No, were you all that fucking drunk? Come on.
Now I have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah. Well,
it bothers the shit out of me. Bothers the shit out of me. So that was awesome. All right. Should we have our metal fixer? I mean, that honestly, that was mine. So I'm good. You know,
I don't have anything, honestly. It's been one of those rough weeks. So.
Okay. Well, here, what we'll do is we'll just insert the thing right here.
I'm just going to leave it like that.
Of course. Well, that was the idea. I kind of figured you would. For my metal fix, it's a kind of a cool record came across my desk earlier this week. The new Ilse record, Corpse Fortress, is...
I saw that. How's that?
It's... You know what? It's out today as we speak, March 2nd, dude. You would dig this band. You like your Hooded Menace, your Death Doom, and all that. Okay. I think this record's going to strike a chord with you.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
And all that.
It's
on
my list to check out.
Well, I think you should listen to it, but I was going to drop a track for it, but I really think that I want to get this band on the horn and all that, so I think maybe we're going to save that. I was so inspired, Rock, last week by your talking of the Chasing Glory podcast from, what's her name, Lillian Garcia?
Yeah.
And her interview with Nita Strauss from, you know, Alice Cooper and a variety of other projects. I gave that podcast a spin earlier today, actually.
Okay.
As we speak, when Strauss was talking and her story was amazing. Like, this girl is just amazing. And I knew she was. Because obviously I'm a big Alice Cooper fan and all that. So when you said she was on the show, I'm like, okay, I'm definitely checking this out. Last year as well, Strauss was actually up here in Winnipeg, just making a personal appearance at one of the guitar shops.
Oh, cool.
But by the time I found out about it, it was way too late. I couldn't make it and all that. That's why you're just hearing about it now, because the last thing I wanted to do was talk about how I missed such an awesome event and all that. Well, I gave this podcast a spin, and before I got to it, I saw like every guest that she had on previous, and it's all WWF stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, this is just, she's just towing the line, I'm sure, and all that. So it's just like, I think I'm gonna pass on all of this. And then I found out that, okay, Strauss is heavily connected to the WWF as well. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
She is?
Yeah. They're talking about how she was doing some events in Jericho. Like, they're connected behind the scenes. Go back and listen to it. I can't remember exactly how, but she has some connection with people behind the scenes with the WWF as well. And all that, which kind of explains why she's on Garcia's show. That said, did not stop my enjoyment of the show. I checked out her band We Start Wars.
Yeah,
check that out today. That's a really cool band. And her solo record, I checked out the video for the song Pandemonium, And I remember those shredders from back then, mm-hmm. you know, from the 80s and all that. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, she can go. She can go as well. And you guys are the guitar guys, okay? I can't even begin to shine your guitars. But, you know, she can go. And I think I want to go out on this Pandemonium song that really blew me away today. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, like she said in the interview, you know, Alice Cooper's looking for a rock guitarist, and you're a shredder. Can you be a rock guitarist? And she kind of had to relearn, like, what she does. But well, you can tell just how comfortable she is just fucking going.
Yeah, like she said, she had to take lessons.
yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, I know.
She's killer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely amazing. Yeah, if we can go out on a track tonight, that would be really cool. Some other records I checked out this week, you know, because of last week's episode and the concert and all that, I was cranking the Anthrax's Worship music. The new Six Brew Bantha came out recently. They're a cool grindcore band out of Victoria. And Atheist has signed on to Agonia Records. And Rock, you'll remember Atheist. They were part of that whole death metal scene in the Florida.
Nope.
The Florida scene. You don't remember Atheist? Yeah, they were the same with...
I've never... Dude, I've told you before. When I got into death metal, it was already like 92, 93.
Oh, okay. And well, they were still around, but...
I never got into them.
Okay, well, during the Florida heyday, they were right in there like a dirty shirt with the Obituaries and the Deicides and...
So these are all bands that I wasn't listening to at the time.
Oh.
For me, it was Carcass and Fear Factory and those guys.
Okay, well, Atheist are on their way back, and that inspired me to pull out their Piece of Time debut that was so killer back then.
I did see them live, though.
Yeah. Oh, shut up. Really? When was that?
When they did the first Death to All tour. You know, the Chuck Schuldiner thing where it was all his former bandmates. Atheist was one of the opening bands.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I knew nothing of them. Nice. I mean, I knew them by name, but I didn't know any songs. So it was good.
They're a killer band.
They are. They're fucking fantastic. Yeah. And I'm so psyched. I'm so stoked. They signed on with Agonia, and Arsis has signed on with them as well. Going to be another killer year for them. So before we get on with things, I'm going to quickly drop a track from that killer Atheist Piece of Time record. And we're going to send it out. Get Well, Ducky. This is for you. This is Unholy War.
Just a way more. Break it down. We are the only one.
band like tonight's Creature Feature, invariably the main man, the vocalist, the front person is going to garner the most attention, especially when that main man is none other than Philip H. Anselmo himself, more widely known, you know, among fans as from Pantera and a whole barrage, of more lesser known underground bands. One of those is Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals. Okay, and with a band like the Illegals, he stacked the deck with some of these amazing musicians that have their own history and story to tell. One of those is tonight's Creature Feature, Mr. Steven Taylor, who is the guitarist for the Illegals as well. Longtime listeners will be familiar with their other project, now simply known as Superjoint, but when we pushed that band, they were known as Superjoint Ritual of Rock. You'll remember we pushed the record Caught Up in the Gears of Application. We played the title song, and it's just a fantastic time all around. Now, this new project with the Illegals just put out their latest record, Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue, on Season of Mist. And this is the perfect time to sit down with Mr. Taylor and get one of those wicked stories out of him. Before we get there, as is tradition around Radioactive Metal here, I'm going to give you a sample of said record with the kind of sort of title track, Choosing Mental Illness. And as we go out on tonight's interview, Mr. Taylor has made a mention of a friend of his that was sort of in need right now. So we're going to send this track out to him. As I said, this is the kind of sort of title track for the new Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals. This is Choosing Mental Illness. We'll be right back.
first and foremost, maybe we should start on, because we're going to be introducing you probably to a lot of new fans here that might be hearing at least about the Illegals for the first time. So maybe kind of give a little bit of background on what that is, the who's, the whys, the where's, how did it happen, whatever you feel that our listeners, you know, would be best to get your story.
Well, the story with PHA, Philip, H, and Selmo and the Illegals is, this is Philip's solo band, venture, whatever you want to call it, exploration into extremities. And yeah, that's basically what we're going after. This is our second release, choosing mental illness as a virtue, following the Walk Through Exits Only record. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's pretty much the history on that.
it's simple enough, I guess. I guess Phil just needed some kick-ass people, and you got tapped.
Yeah. Man, everybody that's involved is pretty kick-ass, man. And everybody that has been previously, too, is kick-ass. So, yeah,
right on.
Surrounded with, you know, excellent players and just people in general, you know.
Right on, right on. Definitely, that's good to hear. You said, like, it's kind of a side project of his for the more extreme now, okay? Let's go with that. How would you, like, what kind of, is there a subgenre? Is like, what would you, all right, I get it. No artist likes to be labeled, but what would you call the Illegals? How would you kind of describe the sound?
It doesn't seem so extreme to me. I mean, I guess to some people, you know, in the more generalized metal community, I guess it would seem extreme because there's no, you know, there's no groove sections or there's no parts sections where you could sit there and get comfortable. You know, it's like a roller coaster ride, so we don't want you to really be comfortable for any period of time during the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the extremity of it, I guess.
Hey, cool. You joined on, I guess probably your first introduction to this world, I'm just assuming from the outside looking in, is when you joined then known as Super Joint Ritual in 2014?
I was kind of Johnny on the spot for that because me and Blue, Joey, drummer for the Illegals and also Super Joint now, happened to be over at Phillips, and we were in a writing session or recording something for the Illegals, and it was coming around Horror Fest time, and the talk about reforming Super Joint for the Horror Fest, and I guess Blue was already penned in for the spot for the drummer, and Hank Three was supposed to come in at some point, or they were trying to get him to come in at some point, and I guess it never transpired, and I just happened to be there, so I was able to just pick up the bass and, you know, try my best to rock that spot as possible, you know?
Right, because, okay, maybe we can kind of, if anyone might be a little confused, you're okay. Predominantly a guitarist, right? But you can also play bass.
Yeah, it's pretty confusing because I've always been a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in, you know, any previous band I was in before. So with the Illegals, that was the first time I'd ever played bass with any band. And so I just picked that up and, you know, went for the attack. And yeah, that was the first time ever playing bass, you know, with the Illegals. And then when the spot came up for Super Joint, you know, I was just happened to be there writing. I don't know if I was on guitar or bass at the time or whatever, but we were doing something, and the spot came up to to jump in jam. And so me and Joey just pretty much, you know, hammered both records in a couple of days and just went right to work at it, you know.
Well, we're definitely enjoying all the fruits of your labor so far. Keep up the fantastic work. Do you recall when you, because I assume, like, you, I imagine that Phil's got a few years on you. Do you recall meeting him the first time? Were you a Pantera fan first, perhaps, and then met him?
I have a year plus on him.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Unfortunately, I'm the old fella in the band. But
Sorry. Then just kind of take this as a compliment, because just looking at pictures, you look like the pup.
I try. We both grew up in New Orleans, and you know, I didn't know everybody as, you know, kids, but you know, in the early adulthood is when I started meeting everybody, Jimmy and Kevin Bond. And I met Philip in passing here and there whenever he was around. Because actually, I used to take guitar lessons from his old guitar player in Razor White way back in the days. I used to hang out with Matt Thomas a lot. And that was pretty much how I got introduced to, like, the whole group of guys in general. And then going out to all the bars and drinking and meeting everybody. So it was kind of like a range of friends. But again, I went off my own way and moved to Texas, and you know, 20 something plus years later, by some fluke, I got reconnected with some of these guys and we're jammed
right on. And then of course the end result now after all of this is, like you said, the latest record, Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue. And that makes me think there's rhyme and reason behind a title like this.
Yeah, you got to be crazy to choose this life, pretty much.
Is that basically what you're saying?
No, not at all. That's, you know, you have to touch on Philip with that, man, because, you know, that's probably his take on the way he sees things going on around right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what I can throw at you is, I believe this record is it your debut with Season of Mist?
This is my debut with the Illegals. Yeah, I didn't play on the first record. I came in late after the bass tracks were laid.
Right. Okay. Sorry, but is this the... For the Illegals, this is the first record with Season of Mist, right?
Season of Mist?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure on all that, man.
Oh, okay. Well, because this record's coming out on Season of Mist, apparently, but it kind of makes me think, okay, what about Housecore? Is it kind of a split where the U.S. will handle, where Housecore will handle the U.S. and Season does the rest, or this just kind of isn't your thing? You're not really worried about it? You just want to show up and play, or?
Yeah, man, I don't concern myself too much with that. I don't know the ins and outs of that, what's going on with that. Yeah, I show up and play, man.
Fair enough. Who were some of the people that made you want to show up and play? Like, who, you know, when you were younger, who made you want to pick up an instrument? Who was, you know, the one that did it for you?
I've got weird influences, man. You know, being a child of the late 60s and the 70s, man, you know, as a young kid coming into rock and roll, I was always surrounded by my mom's younger brothers, my uncles. They were always visiting New Orleans from California, so they were always hanging around, and I was exposed to a lot of the 70s music, the rock that was going on back then. And then as an early kid, of course, Kiss, you know, was the big thing as a kid. But as I got older, Man, my two, it's weird. My two, a couple of my influences, Blixa Bargeld from Einstürzen in Neubauten and John Frusciante from the Chili Peppers is another major influence later in my life. And Rollin' S. Howard is a major, major influence on me for a long time.
Oh, right on. Cool, cool. It sounds kind of diverse there.
Yeah, I'm all over the place with it.
Right on, right on. Now, with everything that's going on and the name The Illegals kind of was around, like, before the shitstorm with the president all came on, but with a name like that and with everything that's going on with the U.S. government, it's just like, it's like the name of the band is like a big fuck you to Trump. Is that kind of the way you guys see it, or is that maybe the way... It was started, not necessarily at him because it predates, but just to Big Daddy government in general. It's like, fuck you. That's what I get from it.
I would just put it as a big fuck you to everybody.
Right on.
Let's make it a big general statement.
Makes sense. And with a name like this, and all that, and I remember Mr. Anselmo came under fire a little while, and I'm not going to get into a lot of the details, but he received some criticism about a certain act involving white wine and all that. I didn't quite believe the accusations against him just because of the concept of stuff like this. Like, if he was a big racist and all that, he wouldn't be saying fuck you like this. I think this silenced the critics once and for all.
Yeah, that whole thing was blown out of proportion. I was there through the whole thing, and it was just what it turned out to be was ridiculous.
Right, and it's. Ooh, look at the name of his bands and all that. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Bonds have black, and you got a band full of Hispanics. You know, I'm part Hispanic myself. So, I mean, my grandmother was from Nicaragua, and, you know, it's like there's no racism up in here, man.
Right on. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
We do fuck with each other.
You should. You're buddies. Like, you got to.
Exactly. That kind of camaraderie. Yeah, there's no racism.
Mm-hmm. Nothing counts when it's your friends. Yeah. I totally get that. Hey, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time, but maybe just what's going on the next 365 days for not just The Illegals, but for any of your other projects that you might have going on. What's going on in the next year with you?
First and foremost, I think, right now, Phillip's recuperating from a minor back surgery, so we're waiting for him to get 100% from that. And I think Illegals 4 is in the works, so that's coming up shortly, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And then... I think we're going to be releasing some more music this year, man. And, you know, during the span of Walk Through Exits Only and the release of Choosing Mental Illness, we reformed Superjoint, wrote a record, and we compiled almost 2 albums worth of a whole nother band's worth of stuff, plus another band's whole album worth of stuff. So, I mean, we compiled like a mountain worth of material in a couple of years. I know it's been maybe 4 or 5 years since the first record, but we've done a lot of work in that time, and I think it's going to start trickling out here shortly.
Right on. Good to hear. I'm looking forward to it. And finally, I'm kind of curious about something. This might seem like a mundane question, but I think it's actually quite interesting because I'm up here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, smack dab in the middle of the country. You're in New Orleans, right?
Right.
Okay,
Houston, Texas. That's right.
Okay, well, that's pretty much ballpark because I was just curious What's the weather like today?
Today it was it's been rainy for weeks, and you know, it's chilly, off and on chilly. I want to say 72 degrees right now, but it was colder earlier.
Okay, because we're still in the middle of winter here, and Winnipeg is, we're known for our very cold winters, and whenever I talk to someone from the South or in South America, when they come through town in the winter time, they're always like, fuck, man, it's cold. How do you live here and all that? And it's just, so I just kind of wanted to, yeah.
We haven't seen the sun in a while, so I'm getting a little, a little stir crazy in the house here.
Okay, well, hopefully you can get out there. And finally, just say hi to someone. Give someone a shout out to anyone.
To anyone?
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Lee Williams. Very good friend of the family. Today, he went through heart surgery and had a heart transplant. And from what I heard, it's successful. So this one's for you, Lee Williams.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
As I always said in tonight's creature feature, right now, officially, Snowy is putting this shit to rest. Obviously, Philip H. Anselmo is not a racist. With all that shit that went down last year, as you may recall, when you name your band the Illegals and half of your band is Hispanic and all that, like, come on. I think it's time to put that to rest. And Radioactive Metal did it, damn it. How are we for time?
Well, you know, we've been trying to stick to 60 minutes. I think it's actually a reachable goal tonight, so
we might make it.
We might actually make it.
No, that's just because I cut myself off and all that.
Well,
I can still go another 3 hours.
But circumcision's important.
Don't say the C word. In the meantime,
castration? No, yeah. Circumcision.
That's worse. That's worse.
Well, hang on. You can't close it yet because we haven't talked about the H in Phil H. Anselmo. I never understood why it's Phil H. Anselmo. Oh, I thought it was something made up, but the H stands for Hansen. Mbop. He was a co-writer.
In the meantime and in between time. That's it. This has been an illegal episode. I'm Snowy White.
I'm the Harvester of Sorrow.
And I'm the thing that should not be.
Oh, no shit. Signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.